Morning once again. If you turn with me in your scripture to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. If you'll remember back, those of you that were here, I said I was going to preach about three messages on sanctification or the deeper life. My first message was Jesus is like an onion. What was the whole message there? You got to peel away the layers. You know, you got to really get that deeper life. You got to start peeling away the layers. Because see, what Jesus gives us right up front is salvation. But there's so much more that he has for us. That there's so much more in our lives that we have to continuously be peeling away the layers. My second one was get rid of the scapula. Remember what the scapula was? Huh? The trash, the rubbish, the dog dung. Get rid of the scapula of our lives. So the first message was on what the deeper life sanctification was all about. The second one was how do we get there? Today's message is why we don't get there. And the title of today's message, if you saw in your bulletin, was there's no meat on a butterfly. And believe me, there isn't. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you are not able to bear it. Nay, not even are you able now, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are ye not carnal, and you do not walk after the manner of men? If you look at that scripture and what he's telling the Corinthian church there. Now, he was writing this to Christians, okay? And this is what I want you to understand. Christianity doesn't stop with salvation, okay? I hear so many people, and fortunately, we come and attend a church that talks about sanctification and the deeper life of and a deeper walk with God. Because there are so many people out there that thinks Christianity ends with salvation. It's so their lives never change, nothing ever happens in their life. And they're sitting there saying, well, yeah, but I got saved when I was a kid. Well, see, God has so much more for us that he doesn't want us to stop at the message of salvation. He wants us to grow to be more like him. And believe me, when you're saved, but you are not like God. You're still human, and you remain human all through life. But what the goal of life is that we walk deeper and deeper and deeper with God, that we become more like God than the other humans. And so what Paul's talking about here, he's saying to these Christians, he's saying, man, he says, I can't give you any meat because you're still babies in Christ. You're still hanging on and being that little child. You're not ready for meat. Now, my title was There's No Meat on a Butterfly. We all like to watch butterflies, right? Butterflies are pretty. But I did some research. They don't have a very big body on them. You know how many butterflies you'd have to eat to have a meal? Huh? A lot. Okay. So I said, well, gee, what lives off of butterflies? You know, is there anything that eats butterflies? And I found out there are very, very, very few things that eat butterflies. And I'm thinking, okay. That's because there's no meat on them. I mean, you know, they wouldn't get satisfied. They'd have to eat a lot of butterflies. But that's not the real reason. The real reason that there's not a lot of predators that eat butterflies is because there is no meat. They have milk. One of the things now, everybody knows what a monarch butterfly is. You see them around here, right? All right, one of the things that a monarch butterfly does is it feeds off of milkweed. Now, you don't learn this just by accident. You know, you really got to go out on the internet and start researching this stuff. Because when I was talking about milk and I was talking about the butterfly, and it's like, how do I tie all this together? And then all of a sudden, God said, here's what I do. they feed, monarch butterflies like to feed off the nectar of the milkweed. Do you know what? The nectar of the milkweed is poisonous to virtually all other things. Okay? So if a predator would come and eat a butterfly, which is their very little meat, they would get the milk of that milkweed, and it's actually toxic to them. Okay? Now, what I want you to do is relate that to what Paul was doing here in Corinthians when he was speaking to these Christians, and he says, you're carnal yet. You're still carnal. And I want you to understand, if you live on the milk, it becomes toxic to your walk. The butterfly lives on the nectar of the milkweed, becomes toxic to everything around it. If you continue to live in the milk of the Word of God, and you continue to live at that level, you become toxic not only to yourself, but to those around you, because they cannot see God through you. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, Paul was saying about the milk here, and he's saying, you need to have more than just the milk and the milk of the butterfly. If you don't have more than just the milk of the butterfly, the things that would try to be a predator in the butterfly would die. Thus, the no meat on a butterfly. Okay, but let's talk about why. Why do we as Christians stop at salvation? And I think part of it is fear. Part of it is concern that, am I going to be able to do the right things? Am I going to be able to say the right things? Am I going to be able to live that life? And see, what I want you to understand is living the life of a Christian. Now, I use the term Christian. For those of you that were in class this morning, I'm not using it in a derogatory message right now. The word Christian, as it was used in the scripture in Acts, was a derogatory, like today somebody would say Jesus people or holy rollers. It wasn't a term of endearment and saying these are lovely people. It was a derogatory term. They called them Christians. They called the disciples Christians first at Antioch because they feared them. They didn't like them. And so it was a derogatory term when they first got it. But, you know, the term Christian, being a person, a body of Christ, having accepted Christ's salvation plan, what happens is that God wants us to change. And we all become exactly alike. That's not what God wants, is it? We are all unique people. We are not all exactly alike. And some things that I do, you can't do. Bible clearly speaks to that, doesn't it? To some they can eat meat. To some they can't. You know, to some this is an offense, to others this is an offense. God gives us these things that we call convictions. And God leads us in the direction we want to go. But there are certain things that can keep us into that carnal aspect that Paul's talking about here. And it's because we're not feeding on the Word of God. And we're not changing based on feeding on the Word of God. We're still getting the milk. We're still just touching that little surface. And that milk over time becomes toxic. One of the things that we have to understand is, as Paul was talking here, the carnally minded Christians. Okay? And you think about it, okay? We a lot of times will say, well, maybe they're not really a Christian. Well, Paul's talking to the Corinthian Christians, okay? He very clearly speaks that in his word. He said, I wrote this book to the Corinthian Christians. I didn't write it just to everybody. I wrote it to the Corinthian Christians. And he says, and what I'm doing is I'm telling you is that a lot of you are still carnally minded. You're still walking in that carnal nature. And what happens when you walk in a carnal nature, you focus on yourself. Now, we all focus on ourselves, don't we? Yeah, that's human nature again. We focus on ourselves. Okay? If I go around the room and I start asking you if you like this or you like that, some people will like this, some people will like that. Okay? Some people like the color blue, some people like the color red. Why do women get to wear pink and purple, and to men it's like, you can't do that. Don't you like pink and purple? You know? No, because we were taught pink and purple. We're for women. Okay? I always wore a pink shirt on Mother's Day, and Georgia used to always say, I appreciate you wearing that pink shirt. Well, you know what? It didn't matter what color. It was a shirt. I'm colorblind anyhow, so half of them don't look the same to me as they look to all the rest of you. So when I look at colors, you know, hey, sometimes if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't match. Thing is, I don't care because I don't know that I don't match because it doesn't look that bad to me. You know, we all have that different thing, and we focus on ourselves, and we have, as we focus on the things of ourselves, what happens is it stops us to focus on the needs of others. And so what happens is, as carnal Christians, we don't grow because we're focusing on the things of us. One of the things that we do is we stubbornly hold on to our own opinion. Okay? Do y'all have opinions about God? Do y'all have opinions about Scripture? Do y'all have opinions about doctrine? Are y'all perfectly in agreement with each other and they're all right? Some believe something. You know, do you understand that not all the people in heaven are coming from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church? Everybody understands that, right? Yeah, they're all coming from the Baptist Church. You better get... What'd you say, Georgia? What'd you say, Jeff?
Really?
You know, there. Why did doctrine start? Did Jesus create doctrine? Obviously, because it started right when he came, because Paul had one belief about Jesus, and Peter had another belief about Jesus, and they spoke differently, didn't they? We get our beliefs by how God leads us. Some people believe a certain way because that's the way they grew up. Some people, when you ask them, why do you believe what you believe? Well, because I believed it ever since I was a kid. Does it make it right? I'm colorblind. If I tell you the sky's red, does that make it right? How do you know? See, you guys just think it's blue. It's actually red. You guys are all the ones that don't know. You see what I'm saying here? Is that we live as carnal Christians because we get focused on the things that are important to us. And we hold on to our own opinions. And in doing that, we get envious of other people when we see, you know, God's blessing them and we're not being blessed as much. Well, God, I do this, God, and I do that, God. Why are they getting a blessing and I'm not? God says I can bless who I want to bless, right? You know, God is in control of that. Does he give everybody the same blessings? No. We see that in the Old Testament and how it was designed and how they blessed the older child and things like that. And I think there's a story in there somewhere, you might want to read it, about how there was some deception to get the blessing. Well, that's what God wants us to do, huh? We want to be deceptive so we can get the blessing from God. No. Did the guy get blessed by God, though? Amazing, huh? David did some amazingly stupid, awful things. But was he blessed by God? If we lived next to David and we look at him and say, man, if that's the example of God that you want me to follow, you know. We are all walking in a different level of life when it comes to walking with God. So we become envious of those that other things they possess. We are envious of people that, you know, we have a tendency to have envy over the gifts that God gives us. Is one gift more important than the other? How many of you ever stubbed your big toe? Huh? Does it hurt? Does it hurt for a while? Does it affect how you walk? If you stub it bad enough, you're kind of walking like this. Guess what else? then your back starts to hurt and your hip starts to hurt and everything else starts to hurt because why? You're walking funny because your big toe hurts. You understand? See, that's what God's trying to show us here is that we are all interwound in our walk with Him. And that just because somebody has this gift or somebody has this gift doesn't make them any more important. Georgia gets mad when I use her as an example, but I'll tell you what. Those of you that don't come to our Sunday morning cell block ministry, Georgia is getting us fat, man. Not on the Word of God either. She makes awesome sweet rolls, sticky buns, whatever you want to call them, okay? And, of course, Dave likes butter on everything, so she always makes sure she brings the butter for Dave. Okay, now, I can make sticky buns. They'd be sticky. They might or might not be edible. I remember my mother-in-law one day, you know, my mother-in-law, she started to get a little bit of Alzheimer's and that, and she still liked to do certain things. And I remember her making cinnamon rolls one day, and she didn't put any cinnamon in them. Well, they didn't taste like cinnamon rolls, you know? They were sticky. You know, you gotta have certain things in there, right? If I make a cinnamon roll without cinnamon, is it going to be a cinnamon roll? No. And so God's trying to tell us through this scripture that there are other things He wants us to understand about life. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have here, "For ye were once in darkness, but ye are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." If we are in the light, we are to walk in the light. The carnal person is typically led by fear. They're obsessed with control. They're comparing themselves habitually to others. They're frustrated when things don't go their way. They're bitter, they're resentful, they're discouraged. And sometimes they reject opportunities for service because they look at it and say, well, that's not very important. I told you a couple weeks ago how important that sign ministry can be. Is that an opportunity for service? Yeah. Am I asking you to come up here and stand and preach? No. I'm saying take some time and put something on the sign that's encouraging to others. That's an opportunity for service. But some people look at it as that's more of a pain. See, that's part of the carnal nature that Paul's talking about here. And he says, you're living in the milk. The deeper life, God has so much more for us. That He wants us to understand that we are not who we used to be. I am not the same person that I was when I was saved. Does it make me perfect? Not yet. I will be someday. Because I will be with Him. And when I die, or if He comes back before I die, when I am with God, guess what? I'm going to be perfect. And you're all going to be just like me. Yeah, you are. You're all going to be perfect in the sight of God. Oh, you thought I meant you were going to be like me? Ah, see. There are things that I do that get on people's nerves. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. She's lived with me for a long, long time. 39 years. Okay, we've been married 39 years. Her pastor said it wouldn't last. because I was a Nazarene and she was a Baptist, and I was very outspoken and she was very shy. Still the same. She's pretty shy and I'm pretty outspoken. That didn't change. But you know, God brought us together. And we have our difficult times. If there's anybody that says they never have a disagreement in their marriage, please come and tell me how. Because my wife and I disagree about things. We disagree on how we believe about things of God. We're different people, you know? And we don't always agree on the same thing. My wife will say, we're going to do something on the house, or we're going to fix something, and she'll say, do you like this? And I say, whatever you like. Because you know what? If she don't like it, what did I say? You know, the happy wife, happy life. If she don't like it, she ain't going to be happy. When we remodeled the house and she was looking at front doors, and the guy that was going to do the remodeling for us, he's in there and he's showing us doors, and she said, I like this one. He says, well, maybe you better look at this one because that one's really expensive. And I said, stop right there. I said, understand. If my wife says this is what she wants, if you don't want to give it to her, you might as well go now because you're not going to sell us anything. I remember first time we were looking for a car. We walked in a car lot, and we're looking at cars, and this guy came over, and we told him what price range we were looking for, what kind of car, and he showed us his car, and she said, no, it's the wrong color. And the guy turned and said, ma'am, you can't pick a car in color. And I just kind of stepped back because I knew where I was going, the next lot. You know? You tell my wife she can't have a car in color, guess what? She's not buying the car. You like that? Are you like that? Huh? If it's not what you want, that's okay, isn't it? That's how God made us, you know? But the thing is when we let that kind of thing interfere with God's working in our lives, that's when it becomes problems. And so when I look at there's no meat on a butterfly, is if a Christian, if you accept Christ and you're a believer today, I'm talking to you. If you haven't accepted Christ and aren't a believer, you can learn from this message, but it's not about you. If you're a believer today, what God's saying is that you have to get some meat. You have to let those butterflies alone. You have to let them go and just look at them and start to get some meat in your life. That comes from getting deeper into God's Word. Hanging around with people who have a lot of meat in their life. You know, getting influenced by others. Because what happens is that when we start to look at those things, we start to concentrate on what Christ wants for us and not just what we want. And you know what? There's not one of you sitting here that Christ doesn't care about. Okay? There's not one of you sitting here that Christ doesn't want to give you the best He has for you. There's not one of you sitting here that can say, Christ has done everything He's going to do for me. No. If you're living, He's got more to do for you. He wants to. And He's there to tell you that this is what I want to do. He says, what? I want to give you peace. I want to give you joy. I want to give you love. Does that mean I'm always going to be happy? No. I'm not always going to be happy. Because sometimes God's going to challenge me to do something I really don't want to do, and I got to make up my mind and say, all right, God, yeah, I'm going to do this, or I can sit back and then step back into my carnal nature and say, nah, God, that's not what I want to do. See, I think it's carnal nature that Paul's talking about. We go in and out of it at times. I think we get focused on certain things, and we go back. And what the Scripture says is that we need to continue walking in the light. We have to learn to love others where they are. Hey, if I say this wrong, you could be offended. I don't care. I talk to myself at home too, anywhere. But I'm going to just say it as it comes to my mind. If you are today exactly where you were when you accepted Christ and it was further back than yesterday, you're not where God wants you to be. Plain and simple. If you have not grown in your walk with God since you accepted Christ and it was before yesterday, anybody here accepted Christ yesterday, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You haven't really learned anything yet other than you're saved. But if you accepted Christ and you're exactly where you were when you accepted Christ, you aren't where God wants you to be. And that's what we have to realize. And that's what Paul is speaking about here to the Corinthians. He's saying, hey, guess what? I want you to understand is God has more for you. Now, here's the next thing you got to understand. If someone has accepted Christ, okay, they may not be where God wants them to be yet. But don't even think that they have to be where you want them to be. See, this is part of the carnal nature too. Is we want others to be where we think they should be. Well, that's a good thing, right? Because, see, God tells me where you need to be. Right? Huh? Jason, does God tell you where I need to be? Well, he tells me where you need to be. Obviously, your sister-in-law says that. Isn't this how we walk through Christian life? Jason, I think this is what you need to do in your life. This is what God wants you to do.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, because I'm closer to God, and he just didn't let you know yet. Isn't that how we walk our Christian life? See, we want to determine where others need to be in their walk with Christ. We can't do that. Because everybody grows at a different rate. Right? Everybody, you know? Austin always told me, he says, Pap, when am I going to get tall? I said, come on, Austin, your grandmother on your dad's side is 4'10". What do you think? And he's 16 years old, and he was still about 5'4 or 5'5", and he's like, man, I just want to get taller. And then all of a sudden, you know, I don't know, he's close to 18 or 19, and he grew some more, and now he's 5'9", 5'10". You know? I look at girls and guys that are in the same family, and some grow tall and some grow short. Wait, they have the same bloodlines. Why are they different? Oh, wow. We have the same Christ. Why are we different? Because we are all unique. God made us who we are. And we have gifts and abilities and talents and thoughts and things that he wants to use. And they're not always going to be the same, and they're not always going to be the direction that I want it to go. If we keep chasing the milk of the butterfly, and we try to live on the milk alone, we'll not get anywhere. And we slowly die in our walk. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation. I won't say that. Doesn't mean you were never saved in the first place. You know, that's not for me to judge. Only God knows the heart. I don't know the heart. You know? Only thing I know about the heart is they opened mine up and did some work on it, and it still ticks. Sometimes it ticks a little faster than other times, you know, but that's what AFib does. But as far as the heart of God, the only thing I know is where my heart is. The only thing I know is for sure is this is what God is leading me to do. You know? Even your husband or wife can't tell you, hey, God wants you to do this. Because as close as they are to you, and as close they may be to God, they still don't know what God's telling you. And what God tells you may be different than what they're thinking he's telling. We need to get out of the carnal nature. We need to start getting into the meat. We've got to get rid of the butterflies in our life. you look at that bulletin there, you know, butterfly jerky, 10 grams of protein, 98.6% fat-free. They'd have to kill an awful lot of butterflies to get a little bit of jerky. Right? Oh, is that what it said? Oh, does not contain actual butterflies. All right. You have to get the butterflies gone and start walking in the light of God. When we become a Christian, we're going to be looking at a video, I think. You found it, Dave? Okay. We're going to look at a short video to close. It's a song you probably all know, Casting Crowns. But this is understand this. When we become Christians, we are part of Christ. Okay? We are not perfect. We are not going to be where we should be all the time. The only thing is our sins are forgiven. And that's the only thing we can look at on other Christians is their sins are forgiven. Not what they do, what they say. Because see, Paul was showing these Corinthian Christians is we're all walking in different levels of Christianity. Some are feeding on meat. Aren't you glad God gave us cows and gave us more than butterflies? We would all be skinny if we had to eat only butterflies in our life. Wouldn't it? You know? God wants you to understand is we still have that carnal nature within us. And it's a very time-oriented process, and we have to continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper into God in order to get where he wants us to be. When we stop going deeper, we start rising to the surface. Do you ever try to hold your breath and stay on the bottom of the pool? What happens? As long as you have breath in there, what do? Tendency is to float back up to the surface, isn't it? Huh? The carnal nature is just like that. It has a tendency to float to the surface. We can't judge people because of it. We only can help them. Help them to grow. That's what God wants us to do, is help them to grow. If you have accepted Christ, your sins are forgiven. Now God wants you and challenges you to walk as if your sins are forgiven. It's a constant. You heard what the song says. You know, there are days and nights that we just don't feel like we're making any headway. God's holding on to us. God is holding on to each one of us. And he's not letting go. Paul says, just continue to get some meat in your diet. And you'll become more like God and less like man. And that's the goal for each and every one who has accepted Christ. Not to be like each and every other one that accepted Christ. To be your own individual in God's light. That's what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you that when you forgive us, yes, our sins are just, they're forgiven and you don't remember them anymore against us. And even though we dwell in this time of carnality here in life, that God, you give us the ability to move out of it. Because you are holding on to us. And that if we trust you, Lord, that we can just be guided by your light and we become more like you. God, that doesn't mean we all agree. But we agree to disagree in a loving manner. And Lord, that you give us the light you want us to walk in. We are vessels. You may help us to shine the light on others. but it's still the light that you're planning for them. Lord, don't let us be as butterflies, that we feed on the milk and we become toxic to those around us. But let us feed on the meat of your word. Let us get the heart of God within us, that we become a loving, caring people that is more concerned about the soul of another than the kind of shoes they wear or the color of shirt they have on. That we don't look at the things that the world looks at, but we look at the things of light that you give us. Help us to not walk in the darkness of the world and continue, after we accept you, to walk in that darkness. Let us walk in the light every day of our life. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.